Blog Talk Radio.
It was an instantaneous just, oh, what the hell did I do? Yeah, really.
So,
you know, in light of the 4th of July and everything, I hope everybody was safe. But everybody that's listening, I want you to do me a favor. Grab the dumbest son of a bitch around you that you know, because I want them to make sure to hear this. There was a fellow years and years ago that came up with an astonishing discovery. His name was Isaac Newton. And he came up with the discovery that what goes up must come down. He named this theory, or the effect, gravity. Now, I realize not all of our listeners are so dumb that they won't understand gravity. That's why I asked you to grab the dumbest son of a bitch you know that's around you and ask them, do you understand the theory of gravity? And the reason I bring this up, yesterday there was a 7-year-old man, young man here in Richmond. I think it's tomorrow, actually. He is being laid to rest because somebody didn't have an intelligent friend grab their dumbass to explain the theory of gravity to them. So some dumbass fired a round into the air while this little 7-year-old, somewhere a mile or so, or who knows how far away, is walking with his stepfather to go watch fireworks and got hit in the top of the head by the bullet falling out of the sky. My truest heartfelt sympathies to that family. No small child should be cut down at 7 years of age because somebody was too stupid to understand gravity. Folks, pay attention. If you see your friend is about to do something stupid like that, bitch slap them and explain the theory of gravity to them so no other family has to bury their young like this. And that was my public service announcement for the night.
And kind of the bitch of that is, too, if you think about it, they may not even know who fired the shot. You know, I mean, do they have any idea? Like, I mean...
No. They say they have up to a 5-mile radius that they anticipate the round started from. So I don't know what caliber it was. I have no idea. But your question, 203 area code, is correct. So
what I thought.
You know, somebody knows someone that fired a round into the air. And I hope at this point they're just kicking the giblets out of them at this point. That or dragging them down to the police department and going, here's the dumb son of a bitch that didn't understand gravity.
Well, and let's be honest here. When you're talking about a state that you can, you know, carry in, I'm sure there's a lot of dumb son of a bitches that were firing rounds off that got all, you know, stupid drunk or whatever in celebration of 4th of July and were just popping rounds off into the air. So even the person who reads the story in the newspaper may not know if it was their gun that caused it. Or, I mean, it's something that's probably never going to get found out. In Richmond, in a 5-mile radius, that wasn't the only dumb son of a bitch with a gun.
No, I promise it wasn't, but it's still a tragedy either way. Now onto a little brightness here. I have voted and I have elected, and I win the prize. None of y'all's votes count. I voted for this one, and I selected myself as the winner of the Dumbass of the Day Award. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. I have saved you all from being a Dumbass of the Day. I decided that I would be nice and make a nice large pot of spaghetti for dinner tonight. I get the hamburger out, I get the onion out, and I realize, oh, well, damn, I don't have any green pepper. Now, I always work from a jar, and then I doctor the hell out of it. But I thought it would be really nice to make dinner, so when my wife got home, it was ready, because she shoots pool on... Well, she had to shoot pool tonight as a makeup game from this past Thursday. Anyway, I get the hamburger all brown. I get the green pepper chocolate. I get the onions. Yes, it does become a Benny Hill adventure. Ladies and gentlemen. Yes, it was kind of like a circus. So here was my startling revelation. After I have the sauce mostly made, one, make sure that in the cabinet you have a supply of spaghetti sauce. I had one small jar, insufficient amount for the 2 pounds of hamburger I had browned up. So, all right, well, I got tomato paste, and I've always have diced tomatoes with Italian seasoning and everything. I said, I can make it work. So then I get out the, and here's a shameless plug for my daughter. She sells Tupperware. They have this marvelous thing called a pasta cooker. I love this son of a bitch. Put cold water in it and put down the noodles in, shove it in the microwave for like 15 minutes. You got a nice hot pasta. Well, that is if you've looked in the cabinet to make sure that you have indeed got pasta. So needless to say, I didn't have but being a little resourceful. No, I didn't understand what the hell that noise was.
It said epic fail.
Yeah, that it was. So needless to say, I turned and looked at Hope and said, well, I hope you have fun eating dinner at the pool hall because no, I ain't got dress shit ready. So I win the Dumbass of the Day award. But, now, I am nothing if not resourceful. I have chili seasoning and everything else, and I always keep little packs of Carol Shelby's chili mix around. So I turned it into one hell of a good pot of chili, but I don't think y'all are going to want to be at my house tonight. That's for damn sure. Be glad we're not on Smell Radio.
Yeah, no, we've all done that. I got to the point where I was having a friend over that was in town for dinner, and I went to the grocery store, bought a whole bunch of food and all that stuff. Well, I realized that don't grocery shop when you're hungry, first off, because then you lose track of everything that you went there to get, and you get a whole bunch of crap that you didn't need. I mean, yeah. I got steaks, I got steak, I got onion, I got, a case of beer, a couple bottles of wine, you know, like just whatever. And when it came down to it, I realized that I did not get anything as an accompaniment. So there was no corn, there was no spinach, there was I had nothing at the house. So it was steak, sauteed onion, and pretty much
a beer.
Booze.
Yeah,
so,
way to go, Einstein.
Yeah.
You will not make a good restaurant manager.
No, this is one of my friends that I grew up with and stuff, too, and hadn't seen him in, like, a long time, so I was like, cool, you know, because he's always talking about, like, because I always post stuff on Facebook about food and all that stuff, and he's like, dude, you know, food, he's like, I know you love food, he goes, and I know you love to cook, so you better make me a badass steak with, you know, a badass meal when I come up there. I was like, cool, you know, we're going to go out and have a couple drinks anyway. So I'm like, all right, yeah, I'm going to, you know, so, and it wasn't, no, everybody, it wasn't a romantic style kind of thing. It was just a dude that I grew up with, and I was like, I'm going to blow his mind with
the fail button now.
Yeah, I know.
Hit the epic fail button now.
If that's all the way at the bottom of the board, I'll just do it. No, epic fail. All right, that's directed towards me. Yeah, I know. So I basically made a crap dinner, and I was like, oh, yeah, impressive, huh? Yeah. My dumbass forgot everything else.
Hey, but there's booze. It can't be but so bad. So, all right. Well, folks, on to tonight's show. We have Michael Carroll, who is the founder of New England Spiritual Team. He's based out of Connecticut. We've got a pretty fascinating story. Not just in the paranormal, but in his actual life. And I believe he's online with us now. So, Matt, if you want to go ahead and pull him in, I'm not going to share much more of his story. I'll leave that up to him to share, or as the show progresses. No sense taking all the thunder away from him.
And Michael is now with us. How are you doing tonight, Michael?
All right. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Michael. Welcome aboard, my friend.
Yes, I'm loving all the little hijinks you guys are pulling behind the scenes here. This is great.
Yeah. Matt loves the damn soundboard and just to ridicule me as much as he can. But, you know, it's all good.
I like the epic fail.
I just think of it as, hey, if the shoe fits, wear it, right?
Yeah, but one of these days, Matt's going to be in the same time zone as I am, and the shoe's going to fit up his ass. Which, speaking of which, we will be in the same time zone, September 6th, 7th, and 8th. We will be at the Sands in Allentown, PA for, what is it, Matt?
Oh, you hit, it's, I was looking at it, it was Paradox Entertainment, but you jackass, you got me on that one.
Oh, slam, epic, boom. We're going to be at Paracon, Allentown, PA, September 6th, 7th, and 8th at the Sands. Man, there are some great names showing up there. But tonight we have, oh, by the way, the other voice that you heard, that the female voice, that wasn't Michael doing impersonations. That would be
No, that's not the voice coming out of me. That's not the dual vocal cords.
Oh, come on.
It's his alter ego.
Yeah, it's my mini-me.
It's fine if you want to let the feminine side loose now and again.
You would
like... Oh, this just ain't right. So, anyway, tell us a little bit about New England Spiritual Team, Mike.
Well, first off, the person that you heard next to me is Lisa Pfeiffer, a.k.a. my mini-me, my fiancé, pretty much the one that wears the pants in the family, or for the bilingual folks, the pantalones in the family. As for New England Spiritual Team, everyone hopefully knows about us by now. Long story short, you know, I'm the founder, of course. I have Lisa over here, who I have named the co-founder in essence. Granted, she wasn't here when I originally started, but she has been the rock and foundation and a lot of rebuilding and rebirth of what we've been doing and the morals and the values. And as such, she deserves that quote-unquote title, if you will. But we traveled the U.S. as much as we can. Actually just came back from North Carolina this past weekend, out doing some picking for, you know, some antiques that we want. But, yeah, you know, we travel the U.S. and, you know, check out different claims. But at the same time, we're not the run-of-the-mill paranormal group, if you will. We're dedicated to the historical aspect of a lot of things. And we're really delving big into doing charity work, anything, you know, for charity-wise, whether it's, you know, ALS or, you know, a historical society or whatever it is.
Or going to pick up antiques all the way in North Carolina and calling us AKA paranormal pickers.
Yeah, that I coined that. But, you know, I mean, why not? You know, it's all about enjoying what you do, being respectful to it, and, you know, just basically living the life and leading an example for the future generations.
And, well, we definitely need a better example left for the future generations than they've been working on lately.
Uh-huh, I hear you.
So, what's some of the more interesting investigations that you've done and, you know, what have you come away with?
Well, I'm going to say one before Lisa jumps in here, because I know she's ready to go all froggy on my ass. But you guys seen the movie trailer The Conjuring, correct?
Yeah,
sounds familiar.
Yes, it's coming out July 17th or 19th, something to that effect. Well, little known fact, I really haven't put it. I put it out there once, and no one really. I think everyone thought I was blowing smoke up their back end. I actually investigated the actual house that movie is based on. I was there for 6 days. And came away with experiences beyond my belief, and actually still to this day, you know, not really haunt me, but something I'll always remember, being up there with the family that was, the actual family that was involved in it, as well as Keith Johnson, Sandra Johnson, Carl Johnson, the rest of them, you know, former TAPS members, of course, or excuse me, not TAPS, former, I can't really say, I got to be nice on air. But we were up there for about 6 days going back and forth, doing investigations and, you know, historical work. After the 6 days was up, obviously, I went back home. And I'm going to condense the version because it kind of goes on. But what ultimately happened, in my car that I had at the time, which was clean, not dirty or anything, I ended up the next morning going out to open the door, and my car was infested with flies. Not fruit flies, or I mean, just the littlest buggers in the world, and they were all over the seats, all over the inside of the car, and they wouldn't leave. So I rolled down the windows. I said, "All right, you know, as I go down the road, they'll probably, you know, depart from here." Well, they didn't. They wouldn't go near an open window. They just stayed in there, and it was like I was just sitting in a mass of flies. So it was a hot day, actually. I think it was June or July, and so I said, "All right, I'm gonna, you know, roll up the windows. The heat will kill them." Well, the next day, they were there. Third day, they were there. The fourth day, I went out, and they had multiplied. You know, and at this point, I'm getting pretty pissed. You
and
know?
If you're wondering why he's not driving, he's scared of bugs.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But in any case, I'm pretty upset. You know, I'm like, where are these flies coming from? I mean, there's just no way for them to get in there. Mind you, they hadn't been there leading up to this investigation at all. I had never seen, you know, maybe an occasional one here or there. But nothing. I mean, we're talking seats, the roof, everything covered in flies. It was just like a carpet of flies. So I get on the phone and I call the author, Andrea Perrone, who actually was the daughter in that house. Her family was there in the 70s and 80s. And I said, "Andrea, you know, this is pissing me off. You invited me up to this house of yours." And I said, "Now I got these flies going on in my car." And she's like, "Did you read my book, House of Light, House of Darkness?" And I said, "No, I hadn't. You know, I don't want to know too much information because then it kind of skews my mindset." She said, "Read the chapter about my dad," which I hadn't at that point. And she's like, "Watch what happens in the next day or 2 days from now." I was like, "What's going to happen? They're going to take my car and it's going to fly away. I'm going to come out and it's going to be gone. You know, what's going to happen?" She wouldn't tell me. Well, what do you know, the fifth day they were there, the sixth day, the last day of this occurrence, I go out, didn't even think about the flies. I go to open my door, and every single one of them was gone. I mean, not even a trace of them. Mind you, this whole six-day period, my windows were up. I mean, the vents were closed. You know, I figured the heat was going to kill these things. But when I went out there, they were just gone. Like, they never even existed. And after that, I didn't see a single one. Coincidentally, I got rid of the car as well. But it was just one of the most wildest things. But when you watch The Conjuring, if you guys do or your listeners do, mind you that I've already seen some of these trailers, knowing some of the back history that I know, Hollywood dramatizes stuff. They have misinformation. This movie is actually based on Ed and Lorraine's investigation and the notes that Lorraine stole from the family, from the mother of the family back in the 70s. This is not totally fact-based. It is just what Ed and Lorraine perceived it to be. Granted, Ed's passed away now, but Lorraine has all the notes from it. So it's just one of my stories that I'll always remember.
Cool. So what's the correlation to the chapter in the book regarding the flies?
Well, oh yeah, regarding her dad, she had went on to explain that the same thing happened to her father, that there's a spirit called Bathsheba Sherman. It's a real person. I've actually seen her grave. It's not a very well-known location. It's just a headstone, a gravestone. She's not buried there. The local legend around her is that she was a witch, and she sacrificed a two-year-old baby, rather graphically, which I won't say on air. Brought to trial and acquitted, even though everyone knew she did it. And ultimately, she passed away. But because everyone knew or perceived her to be a witch, she couldn't be buried in consecrated ground. So the legend is that on this property, which is still there, there's a well. they threw her body in the well and put a cover over it in the shape of a heart, and that well does exist to this day. But this witch wanted to be the mistress of the father, drove so hard to drive that wedge between the mother and the father, and he really, you know, was having a lot of occurrences because of it. And so one day he went out to his pickup truck, same thing happened. And they attributed it at the time to these flies were the same ones around a deceased person that's been left out to rot, or a deceased carcass, animal or anything. And that's where these flies came from. And so the theory that Andrea said is perhaps Bathsheba was attracted so much to the father, she was attracted to his truck, and when he went in the truck, she was there. And same with my car. She attached herself to my car, hence the flies representing her being there in the car, or at least some form of her being there.
Hmm.
But the same spinning account that I had of the timeline correlated almost spot on to what he had encountered some 40 years earlier.
See, and that situation really blows my mind when I hear about these stories, and not saying that, you know, what happened to you didn't happen,
mm-hmm.
but just the idea of how something can physically manifest a living creature, and
right.
you know, how there would have been access. I mean, yeah, I can think of probably 10,000 ways that something of a small bug can get into a vehicle, but
right.
just what would actually cause them to be controlled to gather in that spot. Like, I mean,
almost like a plague, you know, to where, you know, the flies stay around the stench of decay, you know, and when they're there, there's like a symbolism of death and decay, and that's essentially the same principle that happened within this. And it wasn't just me that witnessed this in my car. People that I used to affiliate with, at the time I, you know, was affiliating with them, and they saw and experienced the same thing, having sitting in the car on that first day. After that first day, I would not use it because it was covered in flies. And me personally, I ain't sitting in a bed of flies, a carpet of flies. I don't care. You know, I'll walk my ass wherever I have to before I sit on a few hundred flies or whatever.
Yeah, I definitely. But did you notice any sort of smell or anything at all that?
Oh, like I said, you know, I mean, I'm not perfect. I mean, no one is, you know. But at the same time, I know I keep my stuff clean. That's just how I like to be, you know. And I get very upset, especially with a car, you know, because they're not cheap. They're, you know, you can't just, you know, go pick it off a tree and grab one. You know, so I take care of it, you know, and if, God forbid, if there was a spill of urine, I would have made sure to rectify it immediately rather than let it linger there, and I'm just not a dirty person, you know. And then I had no clue about the father having that experience, even though I had talked to him personally, that never came up in discussion. And so for it to come up and then me get on the phone, and she was back in Georgia at the time, Andrea was, and to get that same exact thing without ever hearing it. I mean, that's why I didn't want to read the book, because had I read the book, I'm not saying this would not have happened, but people could have been like, well, you already read about it beforehand. It kind of skewed your mindset. That's why I didn't want to read it, you know, because I wanted to go in with a clean slate.
Yeah. Well, for future reference, I'll tell you from personal experience, just don't leave the bodies in the trunk for more than 24 hours. You don't know what's going
to happen. I couldn't help it. It was a small trunk, you know, and once I got it in there, it was a son of a bitch to get the thing out. That's why I just scrapped the car, you know. It's their problem, not mine.
It was a one-body trunk. Now he's got a six-bodied one.
Yeah, I have a 56 Chevy Bel Air, and I'm holding a lot of bodies in there now. So bring on the flies. I'll be pissed if there's flies in this car.
Ladies and gentlemen, those are not airbags on his custom Bel Air. Those are the actual body weight holding the back of that damn thing.
Exactly.
But, yeah, that brings up what we were talking about the other week, too, Matt. You know, as far as, you know, just be walking through an investigation or not even doing an investigation, but all of a sudden you get a smell from, you know, 50 years earlier or whatever, you know, grandma's perfume.
Well, that's the thing, you know, a lot of people say that. They walk into a house and, you know, and again, I'm not going to say that's a definitive because it's all theory-based, everything we do and say, you know, but we try our damnedest. But if someone walks into a house and they happen to scrape their foot on that wooden floor, who's to say that the cigar smell, the perfume smell that was there, you know, 50, 100 years earlier didn't get trapped in the wood and you, you know, subconsciously just happened to scuff your foot and that erupted that scent to come out of the floorboards up into the air, there you are. You
I don't know,
know
but I mean,
scent.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you go into a smoker's home and you have a little canister of bleach and you spray it on the wall, it will bubble and drip brown and smell to high heaven like cigar smoke or cigarette smoke, and you can see it dripping down the walls. I mean,
it seeps into the wood
and the paint and the drywall.
I mean, the most common thing is when someone's renovating their house and they're sanding the paint or whatever, they're like, wow, you know, why do I smell flowers all of a sudden? Well, how do you know that, you know, however many years earlier that someone wasn't spraying something or cooking or doing something and those scents went up into the atmosphere and got trapped into the wood or the paint? I mean, it's all theory-based.
And let's be honest, I do want to throw something out there for everybody listening. Do not attempt to walk into somebody's home and spray bleach on the walls or on the floors just to see what the hell it does. So if I can guarantee you, you will be either painting or staining or you will not be allowed back at the private residence. So.
Yeah, that may cause a slight problem. I mean,
Dennis, that's for the dumbasses who fire weapons in the air. I just had to go out there and say that.
If you have someone,
I mean, it doesn't even have to be bleach. It could just be a non-chemical spray that just you spray on the wall to clean it. That doesn't bleach anything. I mean, it just comes out of the pores of the wall.
Yeah, but it would be more fun to see someone walk in and spray bleach everywhere, and they're like, oh my God, I'm seeing orbs everywhere, and it's not orbs, it's the fumes hitting them and having them a reaction to the chemical scent. You know, seeing them having a bleach trip, if you will.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, folks, if you want to come in and start spraying cleaners and shit all around the house, please message me. I'll give you my address. God knows I could use some help cleaning this.
I'm cleaning my house.
So, now I understand, speaking of houses, you two have some great news.
Well, Lisa's not pregnant, so we'll put that out there now.
Oh, my God. Stop with the pregnant thing. God, it's bad enough he gets drunk and he blabs through the whole bar that I'm pregnant when I'm not.
All right. So what good news do we have, Liz?
We bought a house, and actually two houses, but one of the houses
is for Dennis.
Yeah. Dennis, you can come investigate. It's from 1749.
No address will be given.
Yes, and it was the first ever recorded murder happened on our property in the 1800s in Madison. I won't say the state.
It doesn't matter. Everyone knows we live in Connecticut because Dennis said we're from Connecticut. Oh, that's smart. Idiot.
Now we know exactly where it is. But, hey, on a different note, if everything works out well, you say I can come investigate that property. Well, as it turns out, now, for those that don't know, Michael and Lisa actually helped me out big time April. I think.
Yeah, like that. I mean, the days are just flying by. Pretty soon, I'm going to hit 50. Lisa's going to be 80, you know?
And he's going to be strangled any second.
But, yeah, my daughter is also in Connecticut. Well, she didn't want to drive down. I wanted her to come down for a couple of days, so I decided to stick her butt on an Amtrak train, and Michael and Lisa picked her up and took her to Amtrak and then picked her up from Amtrak and took her home. So that was awesome. But at the end of this month, on the 23rd, and I'm not real sure when the hell I'm going to come back home yet. I will be up in your neck of the woods anyway.
Yes, we heard
yes.
that.
I get to go up and see my daughter, so.
Oh, Lisa's now, your daughter. Congrats. I didn't even know that. So you're going to be, wow, that's a little weird.
Dennis,
you
have
my
permission to kick his butt.
From time to time, I understand much better now why I chose the pointed toe cowboy boots.
That's awesome.
It's that wedge effect. It works so nicely.
Yeah.
And I'll give you the step stool to do it. For those who don't know, Mike's 6'8" and a half, and he's quite the giant.
Yes,
sorry,
and
I'm 6'1".
Oh, no, you know.
I don't have to reach that high to make that shoe fit somewhere.
Awesome.
And I want to kick him in the head. Well, I don't know. I have heard you tell him from time to time he keeps his head in his ass, so I might, well, they might go together. I don't know. But, yeah, I'm coming up for about a week to see my daughter, Jessie. So I definitely want to see if you guys are still in the area. We'll see about getting together and go out to dinner some night.
Yeah, like I told you, you just let us know. We'll almost certainly be in the area. And you just let us know, and we'll meet up with you.
We'll come pick you up in the ambulance.
Yeah, we'll pick you up in the ambulance. We'll strap you down to the gurney.
Oh, God, just the thought's giving me flashbacks again. Strapped down.
It still has the bars hanging from the ceiling, so you can get creative with them,
Now the only thing you need. You guys haven't gone out on, your little antiques collecting and picked up one of those hug-yourself comfy jackets, have you?
Oh, yes, the straight jacket.
I'll have to ask Anna if she has one.
That's from
Oddities.
Edgar from Oddities. Straight jacket?
Yeah.
Yes.
I am so traumatized by those.
And Mike even does the little thing with his fingers, too.
No, that's a little personal to say that. Jesus Christ.
That guy was a trip on that show.
I know. I told Michael we should go to New York, and he should go walk in the store and do that.
Now I'm confused. We went from talking about straitjackets, and now you're bragging about his sexual prowess and how he gets his fingers.
No, that would be Michael.
Awesome. Yay, I'm a sex god.
Only in your head.
That could be taken other ways also.
This escalated quickly.
Yeah, Blog Talk Radio is not responsible for any NR-17, NC-17 related topics.
And neither are we, because we don't give a shit.
Yeah, exactly. So,
well, that's normal for you Chicago people, right?
Yeah, well, some of us give a shit. I just happen to be one of them, actually. On that house, and saying that you have two of them now, the one that you bought, I mean, is that a place? That's not a place you're going to be living. That's going to be...
That's going to be our home. It's undergoing 6 to 9 months of restoration. I actually spoke to our attorney today. We'll be closing as of this Wednesday. But it's going to be original.
It's going to look, and it's going to... You're going to walk inside. It's going to be like stepping into the 1700s.
Yeah, we're going to have it because it is from 1749. It's 98% original with much of the wood still there. We're actually going to have the antiques in there. It's going to be like a living museum, dating from 1750 to 1899. And then the second property, the second building on that same property used to be the restaurant.
A drive-in.
1920s to 1977. That's going to actually be gutted and redone in three sections, if you will, one of which to be like a little green entertainment room, one to be almost like a little snack shop.
A bookshop/bookshop.
Right, and then one to be a radio station, which we have on hiatus while we do everything. But that building's going to have things from the 1900s to 1950s. And because I'm turning into rather the big Coca-Cola aficionado, not Coke, Coca-Cola aficionado, it's going to be like walking into a diner. I mean, I have the aprons, the fountain jerk hats, you name it, and machines, everything. It's going to be walking into time. And then we'll also have a farm on the property. I mean, it's just going to be an estate. We're going to invite the public the day before we move in and say, come take a look at everything. Come be a part of history. And then after that, of course, we'll be living in the house. but we'll make available the other building. And occasionally, you know, maybe Halloween time and so forth, we might set up tours and allow people, and especially kids, to learn about history and to basically interact with it as though it was still going, which technically it will be.
Because a lot of people don't teach their kids a lot about history nowadays, and just the items in the house, we can say, well, this is what they use this for, and they might not know, and it just gives them more information.
Well, this is something
sounds cool.
Yeah, and if you guys need, like, you know, Michael, Ethan, no joke at all. Dennis, you know that's pretty much all of what Ann does is all antique stuff. If you guys need anything, I kid you, she lives in Wisconsin, and if you're ever looking for anything, I can give you what the eBay name is, because that's primarily how she does all of her stuff, and she has, up in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, she has three storage units, two of which are basically the length of 53-foot semi-containers that are filled. You can barely walk through them. And also they have another one that's, I think it's a 20 by 24, that one's full too. And
why can't she live closer to us?
Yeah,
and then
he's
who's
going to make me do a turn and burn in friggin' Wisconsin
now. I was going
to
say, second off, road trip.
Great.
Which, I mean, and I'm not, and she actually, she really, she's 29 years old, but she grew up working in, their house that they had in Mauston before they ended up moving out. It was probably about a 4,800 square foot house that they ended up moving upstairs. So they had two bedrooms, and their kitchen was upstairs, and then downstairs was a complete antique mall. They had three outbuildings on the property too that were set up. They had a candy store that was like an old time fountain candy store with one of the original 1950s ice cream counters. Like, and if you guys need anything at all,
that's
I can
see. That's
anything
awesome.
We're doing
that's
without
awesome.
Any previous knowledge.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, and if you got a pen and paper ready, I know it's kind of hard, but she's extremely thorough on when she does her research, and I mean she's they had a comic book collection that was one complete room in the house that they ended up selling to a gentleman in Texas, that when they had the appraiser come in and look through the comic books, it took him 5.5 months, and it was a $1.7 million collection.
Wow.
This guy hit him up and said, I want all of them. So her dad loaded up a U-Haul, a 24-foot U-Haul, and delivered it to the guy in Texas to have have this collection. So, I mean, they do look to liquidate, like, a bunch of different things, and it's extremely, like, for what they have, they deal with such quality stuff, and, I mean, ton of Coca-Cola stuff, everything, jewelry, and all this stuff from the early 1800s through the, vintage, you know, 1930s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, like, it just, I think that you would be extremely, extremely impressed and would help you guys out in your search for anything that you're looking for that's actual true period, not reproduction stuff.
Yeah.
Awesome, yeah.
We have a couple of repros, but, yeah, I definitely want authentic.
I have the pen ready.
But, yes, it's and if you look at it, you can see some of the stuff. She usually has about 2,000 or so, give or take, a few hundred items on eBay. But if there's something specific you're looking for, let me know. I can put you in touch with her, and she can see what she has, send you photos directly of it, and see. And I mean, she does a phenomenal job. She sells hell. Yeah, it's the eBay username is Wolf WOLF 238181.
That's easy enough.
Awesome. We will definitely look stuff up.
That's my plug for Ann. She's on She's on Facebook too, but she does. She never checks it or never uses it. So
pretty much like Dennis, right?
Yeah
Dennis
like
is never on Facebook.
No.
Oh, no.
I have a hard time spelling that. I mean, I'm not the guy that's called on the tree. I mean, hey, I'm the dude that went to make spaghetti tonight and didn't even have any flipping spaghetti noodles. How damn bright can I be? But, all right, on to another topic. Hopefully, Mike and Lisa, y'all don't feel like throwing me to the wolves for me chucking you under the bus. Aside from the two houses, I understand something marvelous happened to you guys about a month or so ago.
No, it was May 28th.
Yeah, Michael was looking in the paper, and I mean, we'd bought lotto tickets, and he's like, "Oh, there's a winner in New Haven County, but it's not us." And then Michael went into the hospital for a couple days, and he came out. He was not supposed to go back to work. I was so mad, but he did anyway. And then he noticed on the screen that there was unclaimed winning, so he decided, oh, I forgot. I have a ticket in my back pocket. Well, Michael.
Yes. So basically, I had said to myself when I had noticed, I said, man, someone hit for $2 million, in New Haven County. I said, obviously it's not us. I said, but, that'd be cool because, I mean, that's our county, so it's got to be close to home. And I forgot about it, went sick, and the next day, said, that's right, I what did I win? Did I get, $2 or did I get free wallpaper, a.k.a. the losing ticket hanging on my wall or something? And I scammed the son of a gun, And I was like, no way. And I kept scanning and scanning and scanning, and I was like, that's a lot of freaking zeros. That's not right. And kept doing it, and what do you know? I looked, and I said, you won $2 million, go to Lotto headquarters. I was like, yeah, bullshit,
So he calls me, and he says, remember when I told you that somebody won in New Haven County and it wasn't us? He said, are you sitting down? And I'm like, are you kidding? And he goes, no, there's a lot of zeros on this ticket. And I'm like, you're kidding. I don't believe you. And I literally kind of hung up on him because I thought he was joking.
Right, get this, Dennis and Matt. If you were to tell your significant other that you just won $2 million, wouldn't you expect, Publishers Clearing House, jumping around, screaming, crying, tears? She's like, okay.
I wasn't
and
shocked.
I was like,
I wasn't
it?
Believing it.
Right, so I get home. And I knew she wanted to see it.
Well, first, no. First, I called him back and said, if this is true, you better damn well freaking sign the back of the ticket. Because if you lose that, it's anybody's.
Yeah. So I get home, and I knew she wanted to see it. And I'm like, I'm going to play a joke on her. So I went into the bedroom, and I'm changing all my work clothes. And I knew she wanted to see it. And so I walk over to her, and I showed her. I said, what's that say? And she's like, what? And I was like, what's that say? She's like, $2 million. I was like, that's it? That's it for a reaction? Like, really? Honestly?
I still didn't believe it.
Where's the tears of joy? Where's, oh, my freaking God, there was nothing. There was
I did cry, an hour later because it was sinking in.
Seconds, yeah. Uh-huh. But, I woke up the next morning. I was like, what a horrible freaking dream. And I look over, and it's there, and I was like, no way. and it didn't feel real. It took me, a week to get up the nerve to go up there.
Well, not only that is, we've been paying it forward, and even if we only had a dollar in our pocket, we were paying it forward, and we did not have the money to get gas to go up to Lotto headquarters. So I went and I asked my dad for $20 to borrow it, and he's like, are you kidding me? It's my last $20. And we're like, we look at him, we're like, are you kidding me? We're going up to Lotto headquarters and cashing a $2 million ticket. You don't think we're going to pay you back?
That's phenomenal.
And, the first thing, we obviously had to take care of it at the bank, and of course they rolled out the red carpet and treated us as, we were royalty or something. Which of course we didn't think so. We were still humble people. So the after it clears and everything and all the legalities of it, we said we wanted to help back people that helped us. So
well, we'd been going to the food bank a lot because we didn't have a lot of money to pay for food, and they were helping us out. So we went to Walmart and we loaded up our ambulance with two huge pallets. 7 carts of food, which added up to about $3,390, I think, dollars.
Yeah, something like that.
And we drove to food bank and we dropped it off for them, and they all cried.
That's awesome. That just shows that there is some humanity left in this world. But that's just fantastic. I think the part that is most moving is the simple fact that, we've all seen winners where, she's 75, they own 4 companies, and she owns 63 properties. And she was already trying to figure out how to divvy out the millions to her family when she died anyway. But to actually see somebody that could actually use it and would benefit from it and, would help others with it, to me, that is the best part of the whole damn story. So I want to give you both kudos on paying it back. That's awesome.
Well, when we realized that we had all this money and it's totally sunk in, we were like, all we could think of is now we can help more people if we, we helped sponsor a friend of mine who's been wanting, she's really good. We sponsored her and her horse to go and try to get to the 2016 Olympics. And we just helped another friend see her son that she hasn't seen in 6 years. 6 or 8 years, I think. 8 years. 8 years. And, we've just been giving back constantly, helping those that have helped us in the past. So, and we will continue to do so.
That's phenomenal. Yes. So
I have to apologize real quick. Hey, Dennis, I have to apologize. I didn't mean to bust out laughing, but in the conversation of how this started when you were telling your story about how you were expecting it to be like Publishers Clearinghouse, tears and flowers, I never see them, but a damn Publishers Clearinghouse commercial came on when you were in the middle of the story talking about it. It made me laugh because it was flowers and tears and people jumping up and down, like exactly how you described it.
I have that.
I physically got to watch.
No, I didn't say that. I'm like, I don't believe it.
Exactly. So I thought the irony of you telling that story of how it exactly wasn't like you thought it would be being a Publishers Clearinghouse commercial or event that I happened to see one. So that's why I'm laughing. Yeah, completely random. But no, and I definitely agree. It's phenomenal. Dennis, you're absolutely right. First off, I don't know why people who are filthy rich play the lottery, and for some reason they seem to be predestined to win it.
You know what it is? It's not the desire to win. It's just the overall greed of, hey, I have some, but you know what? Let's try to get some more because, it's just going to make us better off. And, it's just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I spent $15 on that ticket.
And we never buy tickets because we never can afford them. We have other commitments, like we have 2 daughters and we have animals and our charities, those came first.
Yeah, and it was just, why not? What's the shot? Maybe you double your money, and something like that is, that'd be nice. Even if I only won $3, I would have been happy, but looking back on it, it's easy to do, but I'm kind of glad I spent the 15 instead of the 10, because had I only did just the 5 tickets on 1 ticket, that's $10, $2 times 5, $10. Without the power play, it would have only been $1 million. Now, I still would have been grateful as all hell for hitting $1 million, but because of that extra dollar times $5, that gave me an extra $1 million. You know, so that was just, and even now it sounds filthy, obscene. Like, I should be, you know, smacked and my mouth rinsed out with soap for even saying that. But, you know, to go from 1 million to 2 million is just like, holy cow, that's insane, you know. And we're coming up on 2 months later, you know, and, yeah, we've been going out doing things, you know, getting things for the house, antiques, and, you know, helping others. But at the same time, we still have a huge chunk of it. You know, we barely have even tapped the fountain of it. And you know, we've got money.
He just loves the fact. He just loves the fact that I don't like the shop.
Yes, that's awesome. Because if I had a shopaholic wife, if I had a shopaholic person right now, I'd be in trouble. Let me tell you what. She'd be like, "Oh, I want this. I want this, and I don't need it, but I still want it." And personally, I'd have to like gag her and restrain her somewhere. But now we're getting back to that S&M conversation.
I was going to say, now we're going back to the sexual prowess conversation.
So, and, you know, it's awesome when I see it, and especially people who come into money. Like, for example, if you look at, like, sports players and they get a ridiculous signing bonus, and then they're out there and they're buying, you know, big-ass diamond necklaces and Bentleys and Ferraris and shit like that. And you see them once they get out of sports, and they're broke in 3 or 4 years. That's 80.
Yep, absolutely. Well, you look at it this way.
They're buying like $10 million houses, and like two or three of them, and
look at this.
They can't afford the taxes.
I got a good example here, Lisa. It took me $15 to get to the 2 million mark, right? 1.366 after taxes, right? It took, I'm going to get slammed for this. It took Jason, Mr. Awesome on Ghost Hunters, how many years to accumulate just over $1 million of lying and deceit and everything else? And I did the most honest thing and buy a ticket, which is helping the state taxes, remember? And I end up doing it in an instant without lying and cheating and stealing, much like Ghost Hunters has. So I'm just throwing that out there.
Ouch. And I believe that would be a call out.
You know what? Put it to you this way.
All right, Thomas DiAgostino. You guys got to look him up if you don't already know who this guy is. This guy is my mentor. He's the oracle to everything I know and say and do within the historical and paranormal fields. I had Lisa meet him just, you know, a couple weeks ago, at him and his wife Arlene, and of course they're top notch individuals. Been doing this just as long as Ed and Lorraine. Minus the debauchery of it all. And Tom's put out quite a few books, and he just actually published another one, and actually we have him looking into writing a book based on the history of our house and the murders and everything, or murder. But at the same time, Tom also said to me, you know, we were checking out a location in Foster, Rhode Island. He's like, Mike, he's like, you know, I've always held you in such high regard. He's like, you, out of everyone I know, he's like, you're one of the top-notch people when it comes to morals and values within not only the paranormal but the historical, you know, I mean, how you base everything. And for me, that felt so surreal because here's an individual that I treated not as a god but as someone that future generations could truly learn from this individual, and yet he held me in the same regard. And, you know, here's Ghost Hunters coming in and, you know, making a mockery of everything. And we have myself and Tom doing stuff on the right path. And who cares if we don't have 10 people in our group? He has his wife. I have Lisa. And, you know, and we have people helping us and, you know, whether it be part-time or, you know, on a limited basis. But ultimately, you know, we're happy doing what we do, and we don't need the fake stuff. We don't need the, you know, hey, follow us on Twitter every single second, help our ratings, you know, help our stroke our ego. We don't need that. You know, and Tom said to me, he's like, I don't want you to shy away from that. I want you to say, you know, here's the big middle finger to public reality TV, because that's all it is. It's just entertainment, you know. Don't be afraid to call them out, you know. It's not about, you know, stroking your own ego to make you look good. It's about doing what's right for the historical and paranormal. And not only that, but, you know, education in general. Do it the right way rather than doing it for ratings is the best way of all.
Because you ultimately are responsible for putting positive feedback out there. If you put negative feedback out there, they're going to follow the negative, and you're going to have people getting hurt.
Yeah, they're going to be basically, think of it this way. If you have, say, like a manatee or a whale, and you have a little, you know, infant, if you will, or a baby whale or a manatee, and it's at the teat of the mother, and it's, you know, on every last drop just to, you know, I got to be there, I got to have it. That's what all these Ghost Hunter followers are. They're at the teat of Jason and the rest of them. You know, I got to have that every last drop. I got to follow them. They know what they're doing. But in reality, that's not what they're doing. They're fooling you. I've gotten messages from some of them. Amy Brunei most notably wrote me, and KJ McCormick wrote me, you know, we can do whatever we want. Who's going to stop us? You know, if people think of us as role models, that's what's wrong with the society. It's entertainment only. And if they don't like us, turn the channel. Well, you know, that's wrong. Let's put out the message, hey, this stuff really does occur. There's real individuals involved, real history.
And there's real danger in it, and people can get hurt.
And I'm not making this a Ghost Hunters bashing hour, although that's a nice little ring of a tone. But just for anyone in general that drinks that Kool-Aid, you know, whatever flavor it is, you know, listen. Once that TV goes off, now you're left with those images of in your head where you're going to go run out and pick up a Kodak camera and snap, 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 and, oh, I got orbs, I got this, I got
or,
that.
Or provoke, and, I mean...
And hurt yourself.
If you think that it's right to provoke, it's really not. I mean, these were once people's loved ones. You know, these are people that have died over time. If you respect the living like you respect the dead, I mean, you go out and you provoke, you say, oh, you know, you're an asshole, you know, come hit me or whatever. Of course you're going to get hit. But if you're respectful and you ask for things nicely, you're going to get things too. Not only you're endangering, by provoking, you're endangering your team, you're endangering the homeowner, you're endangering fans.
You know, here's
one thing I have learned.
Go ahead, Matt. Yeah, and I can agree with you on some levels on that, but on other levels too, just in the like actual true friends that Dennis and I have made. That and I can't say. I mean, we've talked to Bruce Tango. I've talked to Brick Griffith. I've talked to a couple of the guys from Ghost Hunters and Ghost Hunters International, and like Barry Fitzgerald, and just great people, like to actually have just a conversation with. I really haven't talked to them too much about the show, just like, and not even about paranormal, just conversations with them in general. And Dennis, you and I have had Bruce on the show a couple times, and he's a real nice guy, down to earth.
I have Bruce, yeah. Bruce on my page. I think he's a really great guy.
You know,
so is his son.
You know what gets me?
I'm just the show.
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
You know what gets me is, you know, I've talked to Joe Chin in person, him and his sister, on numerous occasions. Jason and Grant, you know, same thing. I've talked to them in person, you know, and some of the other folks. But what's weird is, you know, and what gets me is Dennis, Matt, you guys, you know, all around, you know, seem like, you know, very intellectual, very smart, grounded people. Whether it's, you know, talking on the phone or talking on the air, you're the same person, you don't shy away from it. Essentially, we're the same thing here. We don't shy away from who we are or what we are just because we're on radio or our TV or wherever it is. Why, though, when you talk to, say, you know, just random names, you talk to some of the people affiliated with that show, they're great in person, and then when they're on the air, there's a complete 180 because the ratings dictate that they have to change who they are to boost their ratings, otherwise they don't have a show. You know, that's what's wrong with society.
Yeah, no, and I would definitely agree with that. The other thing, too, like what I was going to get into about the people that we've had on the show,
that have had shows that are, you know, shows aren't on anymore, or people that we talk to on a consistent basis that have become our friends, is a lot of times, and this is something that this is where I kind of stick up for them a little bit, and a lot of the times, not saying Ghost Hunters, because they have a lot more than the other show. Ghost Hunters and Ghost Adventures are the two worst at this. Everybody else really doesn't have artist control of what's aired. A lot of times, and it doesn't even have to be paranormal, just in general, it comes down to what the executive producer wants to be or have seen. And
right. But now, look at it. We're the same. We've gotten the same thing. I've had numerous stations and you know, production companies contact us. Gurney Productions, who ended up putting John Zaffis on the air, you know, wanted me to work with him. Once I found out it was Zaffis, I said no. You know, but they, yes, I agree. They wanted their way or no way. But at the same time, if you're dedicated to the field, if you're dedicated to what you believe in, why change your morals just to be on TV? Why not stand up to them and say, this is how we want it to be? This is our show. Granted, you're the ones producing it and so forth, but we're the ones, you know, without us, you don't have a show. Granted, they can go and find anybody, but if they love the idea that much, why not change? And I know it's for ratings, but that's what's wrong. That's where, you know, it needs to be nipped in the butt and said, you know, let's bring it back. Ooh. Using my own tagline, bringing reality back to reality, because that's where it should be. You know, it shouldn't just be for ratings. You know, and you know, like when Ghost Hunters had a live Twitter thing going while one of their shows was going, and you know, and everyone's like, "Oh, your ratings! You know, you guys are going through the roof." I mean, stroke that ego a little more. That's not what it's about. It's about doing the hard evidence and, you know, quote unquote evidence and the research and, you know, whatever happened to actually helping the people involved, whether they be deceased or living. Why is it now all about ratings and the number one paranormal show on TV? I mean, come on, you know. Honestly, I could care less, you know. I'm actually going to put out there to the public right now, and without going into too many details on it, we actually are about to film 8 episodes of our own. This is going to be our first season. And again, I'm not at liberty to say too much regarding it. However, it's totally blown the doors off. And you know, if you look at Deep South Paranormal and all these other shows, and you know, the paranormal gambit has the paranormal thing has run its course. You've got to change it up, and all these shows keep doing the same thing, except now here's a Southern group, here's this group,
I don't know if you heard of the Divic box, okay? Well, they have, you know, the mirror box. This is some of the same thing. You trap a spirit in a box. It's an evil spirit. Common sense says you don't let that thing out. You bury it on consecrated ground. The thing stays there forever and ever and ever, okay? Well, instead, they take it out of this person's home. They basically say, okay, we got this demon in the box. What are we going to do? We're not going to bury it on consecrated ground and keep it safe from other people. We're going to blow it up, piss it off even more, so it goes back to that family and cause even more trouble.
But at the same time, not only are they advocating, you know, the complete and utter disrespect by, you know, the travesty of blowing up, you know, the self-contained box, quote unquote. But you're also advocating the use of dynamite to kids. Kids are going to be like, oh my God, I can do that. And you know it's all fluff just for ratings. A big explosion, you know, aka Mythbusters.
Yeah, but
no,
you're still advocating kids going out and blowing stuff up.
Yeah, and it's just, it's come on. They're begging and pleading, you know, for every little last drop. You watch our show when it premieres, we're you know, of
you're
course,
you're
going to
actually learn something.
But I guarantee. It's going to piss people off, and that's what I want. I want to stick the big middle finger up and say, you know what? This is what it's all about. This is what it should be about. If you don't like it, stay tuned and watch 5 minutes more, and you're not going to like it even more, but I don't care. That's who we are. It's what we're about.
And you're actually going to learn something.
Yeah.
Now, we had Brad and Barry Kling on the Wednesday night Full Spectrum show with us several months ago, and... And one of the first things that they brought up was, the artist's control was so damn limited.
It's limited depending on who you have as a production company. If you they're going to limit you left and right. If you go to Hollywood, or if you go to, just again, naming names, NBC Universal or one of those major outlets and say, here's my idea, of course they're going to slam you and say, listen, this is how it has to be. It's our way or no way. Granted, you came to us, but because we're big and mighty, we get to tell you whatever you want. However, if you are smart, again, bring your dumb idiot friend next to you and let's learn a little bit of something, a.k.a. Dennis, or Matt, whoever had said it, you bring a lesser-known production company, someone that's striving to get their name out there, you know, that has quality work and can show and attribute to that quality work, but you bring them on board and say, listen, this is what we want to do. And they're willing to work with you because they also agree, hey, this is a phenomenal idea, an opportunity, let's run with it, let's make it happen. You have more leverage to say and do what you want because it's a lesser known and they're eager just like you are. When you go to a more established place, they could care less. They're you know, Fox Syndicate or whatever, they could care less if you say yes or no because they'll go get any Joe Schmo. You get a lesser known company and they're eager, they'll work with you 100-fold.
More quality stuff.
That's the secret. And you know what? People are going to sit there and they're going to, it may not hit the networks. It may hit DVD. It may hit Fearnet or whatever, you know, but ultimately it's going to get the message out there and maybe one day it gets picked up. And even if it doesn't, it's still out there in the public domain for the people to watch.
And be educated.
Yeah, and that's what I was getting at with the Kling brothers. They both said that their artist control was limited, and they didn't know what the hell aired until we knew.
Right.
And that was part of why, you know, they're no longer on air. He said, I'm not sure exactly which one said it, but one of them said, you know, we just got tired of the shit. You know, they didn't want to put out the quality stuff. They wanted to put out what was for ratings, and we finally sat down and said, look, either we start participating and we put out something that's worth a shit, or we walk.
Well, look at it this way. Ghost Hunters went up to the Haunted Victorian, where we're going to be August 31st of this year, throwing it out there. they went up there. They, you know, investigated, of course, you know, and they had actual hard facts. Edward and Lillian, the owners of it, good friends of mine. I love them both to death. As well as Tom D'Agostino, they were invited, of course, up there, and they gave the full history of everything, and Tom knows it just like anybody else. I mean, he's a storyteller in his own right. He's Stephen King, minus the freaky glasses and the bat doors leading up to his house and everything. But, you know, they knew the history, and guess what? All of that was cut out of the actual episodes in Ghost Hunters, and all they focused on was a squeaky chair and a window that squeaked and made a little bit of noise here and there with a common wind coming through. They didn't talk about the actual history of the, you know, quote-unquote spirit that's there or spirits that are there. They just focused on, you know, oh, the chair and this and that, and, you know, it's wrong. Also, look at Rose Lighthouse, and I want to say that's Newport, Rhode Island. All right, now, again, going, and I'm not going to name who's told me this, but going back to Ghost Hunters, they focused just on a chair. Now, however, in this episode, the chair moves. Now, the problem with it is the chair turns to one way and then comes straight at you. Now, if a chair's going to move, you know, and again, it's theory-based, you would think a chair to move in a straight line. It wouldn't, you know, zigzag all over the place. Going, you know, after the episode, talking to the confidant that I spoke to that has full knowledge of it, he knew that they pulled it with a string through a little trap door there and created the effect. But it was such a poorly, you know, executed thrill and just a ploy to try to scare people. And, you know, that's ridiculous. When you got to pull a chair, or a.k.a. be Grant and pull your collar through your sleeve, that's when you know you shouldn't be doing any part of this, you know. And it needs to just stop because it gives everything a bad name and everyone loses all credibility. And that's where we're coming out. And if our show doesn't take off, I don't care. But ultimately, it's going to put out there the education, the historical facts that need to be out there rather than a cheap carnival thrill.
Yeah, because I think I'm a little bit sick and tired of going on investigations where we're trying to help actual people and they're like,
Where's the rest of the crew?
Where's all the equipment? Where, you know, are we going to be on TV?
Yeah, that. Now, see, that's another part of the problem. Folks don't understand. I mean, they see six people show up on, you know, any one of these TV programs. It doesn't take six. If I've got to go in with six people, I've got way too damn many people, and I've got contamination in the room in the first damn place.
Right.
Now, I have a crew of five. I have five members in my team, but the reason that I have five, three of them are law enforcement. I can't always have them available, you know, with shift work and everything else. I think the most I've had at any one investigation at any one time was four.
And three of those were in your head, correct?
Well, no. If you want to do it that way, I had 18. But no, I had three team members and myself. And, you know, we'd split into two teams and go to separate portions. You know, and everything, anytime that you're doing that, if there's a possibility of getting cross-contamination,
right,
you're throwing it the hell out. But,
yeah.
You know, that's just proper protocol, in my opinion. Now, I've had investigations where the homeowner insists that they're staying there. They're fine. You sit your ass on the couch and you stay quiet.
Right.
You know, that's all there is to it. You know, well, where can I go while you're doing this? I don't really have anywhere to go. I'm going to stay here.
Yeah, and, you know, we've had that too, and we say to the homeowner, you know what, it's not our home. You know, who are we to tell you you can't be here, you know? And I just saw a story earlier today, you know, where people are talking about teams going in and basically kicking the homeowner out, you know, saying you got to go, you can't be here. Homeowner coming back, the team's gone, and some of the stuff inside the house is missing. There was another story I saw about a homeowner coming home and finding the team watching adult films on, you know, on the homeowner's entertainment stand system. I mean, you know, it's just absolutely ridiculous, you know. But if a homeowner says to us, hey, you know, can I stay? Yeah, just like you guys, you can stay. But however, you can't contaminate. You can't, you know, be walking around cooking bacon, you know, and, you know, doing your own thing. You asked us to come here. Please work with us and allow us to do what we need to.
And we usually have the homeowner sitting next to whoever's, you know, reviewing the footage as it's happening and help out with that, and they're just quiet. But at least,
exactly.
Yeah, I mean, they're not, you know, they're helping.
Yep.
They're actually learning about what's going on, and, I mean, it's an extra pair of eyes.
Yeah.
You
know, the other thing I've done. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, and commenting on that, like if the homeowner is comfortable, that's one thing that I always do is I always, always invite them to be a part of it. Kind of give them a run through of what we're doing, and I've developed a bunch of different hand signals, like, you know, basically shut up, don't talk. But
right. The
thing is,
big middle finger.
And Lisa, what you were commenting on is it was a human being. It was somebody's mother. It was somebody's father. It was, you know, whatever. And when you were talking about the taunting stuff, it was a living, breathing human being,
right?
Who you're trying to communicate with. Well, the living, breathing human being that is not with us anymore is also comfortable and familiar with the person whose house that they're in, a.k.a. the homeowner, they're familiar with that person. They're probably more apt to contact that person than, like, for example, you walk into somewhere and you try and talk to random strangers, you're probably going to get the brush off most of the time.
Now,
unless
do you...
you
well, I mean, whenever I walk into a place and I know that there's spirits there. I say, you know, I'm not here to harm you. I hold you in the utmost respect. I just want to learn more about why you're here. What you, if you mean any harm to the homeowners, then, you know, we just want you to pass on or you know, I mean, if you want to stay, then just, you know, stop with the antics. You know, be polite about it. You know, don't go up and say, you know, you're an asshole, you need to leave, because of course you're going to get hit.
But think of it this way. A lot of people that go into a place, they say, wow, you know, we didn't get anything for evidence. There must be nothing going on. At the same time, how do you know that, you know, again, theory-based, you know, common sense, how do you know that something is there just because you're a strange new person? It doesn't want to communicate with you. You know, people don't talk about it. They say, well, nothing's going on. You're safe, you know, and it's, okay, there's probably something, or there could be something there, not probably, again, theory, it could be something there, but because you're a new and strange face, like you said, of course they're not going to communicate with you. They're going to talk to someone that's been there for a year, 2 years, whatever it's been, 30, 40 years, you know, because they have that comfort. It's almost like, you know, a friend, an otherworldly friend to them, you know, that, wow, you know, I feel safe, this person's not going to harm me, you know, I want to communicate to let them know I'm here, but I feel safe around them, so I'm going to try to communicate. Where you walk in and the spirit on the other side says, well, wait a minute, I don't know anything about this person. Are they going to come in with proton pass and cross the street?
And they're being mean to me. Why should I talk to them anyway?
Well, and I'm not even, and Mike, that's exactly what I was getting at, and I wasn't talking about, like, going in and provoking. I was just talking, like, the one thing that I've realized in testing a whole bunch of different things, repetition, and not saying keep doing something over and over and over again, but if you keep going to a place and you tell the homeowner, hey, you know, we're going to do one tonight, we're going to do another one in a week, we're going to do another one in a week, we're going to do another one in a week, and once the familiarity gets there to where there is that comfort level of, hey, these people aren't going to hurt me, because let's be honest, if you had the ability to not be seen in a lot of situations and you just hide in a corner, and it very well could be that they're pointing their finger at you and laughing their ass off, saying, look at these jackasses running around, like, I'm right here, but I'm not going to show them. I mean,
right, absolutely.
Yes, but, you can go into a home and gain that trust by just being polite.
No.
You get more bees with honey, you know. I mean, that's what my grandmother would always say to me. And, you know, you can't go into a place right off the bat and start provoking, and, you know, you're not going to get anything except for hostility.
Now, look at it this way, Ari. Now, some cases take people years, and some cases keep going long after the person investigating has already passed on. You know, maybe adds to the claim. But what do you say? We'll ask you guys a question. What do you say when you see a group? Now, of course, I've seen, and I'm sure you guys have too, that you'll see a group that does, you know, not only one case, but it'll take on three cases in a week, but then never go back to those cases. They walk in, yep, there's seven things here. Yep, there's this here. Yep, there's that there.
Take evidence
and
burn.
Not even just take evidence, but they automatically, yep, there's something here, everywhere they go.
Oh,
and then they never
here.
Go back to it. Yeah, they never go back. And you're talking about repetition, you know, maybe once a week, you know, once every other week. You know, set up like a schedule to do that one case, to be dedicated to that one case and help that the people involved, and yet they go to multiple things. What do you think about that?
I have no problem with that idea. I also have no problem with running two or three concurrent on that same basis and same theory. You know, my old team, now, unfortunately, I have yet to have any issues with homeowners or anybody when we've done the residentials. But my old team, they never did return visits. Well, I can't say never, because if it was a friend of the group or something like that, they would. But if it was just Joe Schmo that contacted them, they would go in and do the investigation. You know, we'd gather all our evidence, present it to them, and then, as far as I know, never talk to them again. Well, once I started my team, which, you know, being CPR East, I review my evidence. 2, 3, 4 days later, I get back with the client. I let them know what I've gotten. You know, I go over everything with them. And then I try to set up for another return in, say, 2 to 3 weeks, depending on what
right.
my team can do schedule-wise. You know, and because of the employment that my teammates are in, usually a weeknight investigation is much easier than a weekend.
Right.
Which, you know, to an extent, can be a bit of a pain in the ass for a homeowner. You know, they really don't want you in their house on a Wednesday night from, you know, 9 to 2. But, you know, some of the ones that we have had, they haven't had a problem with it. And,
but what I'm saying is, I totally can see what you're saying there. What I'm saying, though, is going back to, say, you know, the TV shows without mentioning names, GH, they go to the one place each and every whatever Wednesday, Thursday night, whatever it is. Again, I don't watch it religiously at all, for that matter. But they go to the one place, they do that case, and you never see them return. And I'm not saying that, you know, if they say, hey, we got something, or hey, we didn't get anything, you know, that they can't go back, but they never go back. What if you don't get anything that first time? Wouldn't you, you know, someone that's insightful, that wants to learn, that, you know, there's more to the case than just a one-time affair. You know, we're not, it's not a friends with benefits one-time thing. You know, it could be, you know, a case could take 3, 4, 5 years, however long, and really keep going on because there's no end in sight. Yet on TV, once the episode ends, that's it. You never go back to it unless another show does it, you know, which I think is wrong. But that group never goes back. You know, why is that?
Well, Dennis, in all honesty, I can completely agree with what Mike is saying in the frequency and return. How long have I been going up to Wisconsin to the private residence?
Good God, a couple of years, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had her on, and he's been up there, you know, several dozen times, to the point that they have my phone number as well. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but Lisa has some sensitivities, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So are you able to remote view? I mean, what type of sensitivities do you have, and how defined are they?
Well, they're not really refined. They're there. so I can't really control them. I'm trying to get a hold on them. I've been talking to some friends that are psychics about it. You know, I dream things and they come true. You know, I can walk into a place and basically, you know, I can know whether or not there's more than one spirit. I felt people's deaths. It's just weird things that, I mean, you know, I mean, I could basically, one instance, we were going to go pick up a monitor for our DVR system, and we called the guy, and we made an appointment to go to his house. Well, we waited, and we waited, and he didn't show up. And Mike's like, well, that's, you know, we'll find another one. Let's go. And we were driving down the road, and I saw this truck go by, and I said, Mike, that's him. We got to go back. He said, how do you know? I said, I just know. And sure enough, we followed him, and he went right to the house, and it was him. Another instance was a friend of ours, an investigator. She lost her purse on Halloween trick-or-treating with me and my daughter. And she was beside herself. She had all her belongings in there, everything that she needs, you know, for food and everything. And she was just ready to go home and just forget about it. And I'm like, no, it's at the police department. We got to go to the police department. She's like, yeah, right. You don't. It's not there. I'm just gonna go home. I said, no, we gotta go to the police department. It's been dropped off there. And she just to humor me, you know, she had me drive there. And as soon as we showed up and we were talking to the officer, he said, yeah, someone just dropped off your purse.
Cool.
The dreams that I have are really vivid. Some of the places I have not been to yet, some things have happened. I dreamt my sister fell off a cliff, and she did. Luckily, she was not dead.
That doesn't normally happen.
No. You know, but we're identical twins, and, I mean, she's had dreams about me, and they've come true, and, you know, we have the, a psychic told us we have the gifts of spirit photography, and we didn't know what that was, and we were young, and she took us under her wing, and that was 11 years ago, and, you know, they just seem to be drawn to us because we have triple the energy of a normal person because we're twins. I don't know how that works, but they just sort of imprint on my photos.
I do have a question, and both
yes.
of you can answer this. Orbs, go.
Orbs. It depends on what you're talking about. Are you talking about if someone blows up the picture and it looks like an orb, but then when they blow it up, it's a fly?
I'm just talking about anybody that has still photography of orbs and claims them as paranormal at all.
Oh, no, these aren't orbs. These are full-bodied apparitions.
No, I'm just talking about orbs in general.
Yeah, orbs in general, I mean, you look at it, there's so much education out there of, you know, different lighting effects and different, you know, the actual lens hitting the light and the particles in the air that you can't see with the naked eye, your camera happens to see it.
If you see a ball of light pass through a solid door and then shoot up and pass through a solid wall, that's not a dust particle.
But what I'm saying, though, is if people actually educate themselves, go not only online, if they go to a thing that used to be called,
yeah.
I think it's a library.
Yeah.
You know,
see,
one
there's
of those
moisture
ancient,
and dust.
Yeah,
and
but one of those ancient archaeological
pet dander. And,
if
yeah.
they go there and they open up a book and they read about, you know, different lighting effects and, you know, how the environment plays into everything, you can explain 99.9% of the quote-unquote orbs, and, you know, then all of a sudden the Biography Channel, they say, oh, my God, wait a minute, my orb story, that's no longer, you know, prevalent. That means nothing anymore because, wait a minute, here's an actual explanation. But, again, it's all about a 15-year-old or a 35-year-old or whoever age-wise sitting on the edge of the chair on a Friday night. You know, let's try to scare them. Let's show orbs flying around. And again, that little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing. If you put out there orbs could be possibly paranormal related, the bulk of the community is going to sit there and they're going to feast on it. Just remember the teat story, how they feast upon it. That's what they're doing. You actually educate them and it's going to scare them and they're not going to want to listen because, whoa, wait a minute, you're challenging what the bulk of the majority, you know, what... You know, society says is right. You must be wrong when in reality you're actually right and what society deems to be right is actually wrong. Miseducation is a son of a gun, and to correct it, I mean, it's a task that I don't even think is actually possible. However, we're going to chip away at it, you know, piece by piece, slate by slate, and, you know, we'll come up with our own Ten Commandments of the paranormal field. And eventually, people are going to latch on to it.
Yeah, well, I think what Matt was getting at more so, well, no, actually, you did a pretty damn good job. Or by me, my first answer was bullshit.
Yes.
Bullshit.
Yes. Oh, yes, in a short term, yes, I agree completely with that statement. I tend to go overbloated because I'm so passionate about everything.
You mean... Overwinded?
I like overbloated better. It doesn't make sense,
well,
but it sounds good.
If you blow, you're fat.
Thank you. I'm chubby.
I I would say 0.05% of any orbs cannot be explained, like Lisa, what you were talking about. If you see a ball of light that goes through a solid door, comes back out, turns, goes through a solid wall, comes back out, flips you off, and then, you know, goes through something else. Yeah, okay, there's something there.
But,
but if I get, if somebody takes a picture of that in still photography, throw it the hell out.
Yeah.
Well, Most of the people that say, "Oh my God, I have like 30 orbs in one picture." Well, gee, blow them up, and you'll see they all have wings.
Well, that's the other thing too. I actually saw a picture once. Actually, learning experience. It was a picture that I took. I was out in Voluntown, Patchogue, Connecticut, and I had taken a picture. I was in the middle of the woods at I was at a reported grave site. And I take a picture, and I seen this ball, and I was like, oh, my God, you know, what is that? Because there's no illumination anywhere. It's middle of the woods. Nothing should reflect. And upon further evidence, you know, I blew it up, and it was just a moth. It just happened, that light reflection just happened to hit the wings just right, and it set it off. But I've actually seen other people say, oh, my God, there's a heart in there, you know, that must be my grandparents or my, you know, someone coming through saying I love you, and you blow it up, and it's the wings of any animal, and it looks perfect as a heart, but it's actually just an insect. Same with the light streaks. People, not the random ones, but say like a pencil light streak. People are like, oh, my God, there's a light streak. There's actually bugs. That have wings that look essentially like a stick, and they fly around, and they zoom right through, and it looks like a streak of light, but it's just a bug.
Well, there's that and the rods.
That's what I was looking at, yeah.
Yeah. You know what? There was one thing, and yes, I don't have any evidence of it. It was the most messed up thing I've ever seen. If you guys have ever seen anything like this, please let me know and give me your ideas, because I and Mark, who I started CPR with, to this day we have no explanation for this whatsoever. We were out and we went out doing, and Dennis can tell you that there is actually stuff going on there because he's physically seen it and felt it in his face.
Bastards.
But
bastards.
So we went out to this place and we were parked at parked in front of a sign. We were investigating an urban legend because we didn't have a lot of phone calls. We didn't set up a lot of stuff. So we're like, oh, what the hell? Let's go check out urban legends. And I don't know how much you look into that with you guys being history buffs, but like Help Road, to where the backstory is, there was a guy and a girl on the way back from prom or from a wedding, or just it was a dark and stormy night and they were driving down the road. There was a tragic car wreck, and either the guy or the girl crawled up to the road and wrote help in their own blood, and then no matter how many times it's repaved, it comes through and it always says help.
Hmm.
So,
Heard of that one, but sounds cool.
I thought you were going to go the whole, you know, because you're in Chicago, I thought you were going to go the whole Resurrection Mary there.
I can get into that, too, but, no, the...
Did they test the blood to make sure that it's not some random person writing in their own blood? As paranormal investigators, we're also, interjecting...
Interjecting?
Yes. Shut
There's
up.
Another new word, folks.
Yeah, you interjecting forensic science into the paranormal.
You just got 10% smarter in that one statement.
Yes.
And you just lost it by me looking at you.
Is that because you have four eyes?
Yeah, you're about to have no mind.
Hey,
no bloodshed.
He's about to get smacked.
Uh-huh.
What it is it's an urban legend that has been going around for years. I believe it started up in Canada and then it worked its way down here, and it's all throughout the country. There's a lot of people who know about Help Road, or they call it something else.
Right.
But along those lines, the same urban legend though. And so Mark and I decided, we're like, oh, what the hell, let's go check it out and see what we can basically figure out and be like, this is bullshit, or credit or lend any credibility to any sort of the claims. And funny, Mike, that you should say about Resurrection Mary, because one of the claims that was out on this road, which is Cherry Road, is that there would be a car driving on the road and they'd see a woman walking on the shoulder and they'd pull over and there wouldn't be a woman there. Well, it's in the middle of cornfields. And Dennis,
so do we have Children of the Corn Part 10 coming up?
No. It was like the times that we've been out there because of audio contamination and all that bullshit, we go out there like before the fields are farmed or after they're harvested. So there's not all the corn reeds blowing in the wind and you know, the leaves on them and stuff rustling together, which could sound like something else. So the fields are completely mowed down the only times that we go out there. And Dennis, I know that you will say, I'm not full of shit when I tell you that we actually did find something out there. I have a 167-page police report with her name of the woman's body who was bound with barbed wire around her wrists, tied to her neck, and her ankles were bound, and she was dumped in a farmer's irrigation well.
That's a little graphic, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's not nearly as graphic as what I got.
What did you get?
Dennis got punched in the nose.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. I'm sorry, Dennis.
Man, that one flipping hurt, bastard.
So
remote
viewing
is not all it's cracked up to be.
Is your head still hurting?
Nah, I got past it.
So here's the weird thing.
I keep getting headaches, though.
This is where this ties into the light anomaly question. I want to know what your opinion is.
Yep.
Mark and I were out there. Dennis, that was the night that Dennis viewed where we parked, and Dennis, did I tell you a damn thing about any of that?
Didn't tell me shit.
Yeah. And he nailed everything on the head. The one thing that is still unexplained to me, and I can't figure it out to save my life. So we're sitting out there, and we're facing the curve. We're about 50, 60 yards from the curve, and we're standing by the car. There was a light. There was a light that generated in the air about 30 yards to my right, blasted about 150 yards across the road to its end point, and then it's kind of like if you take a rubber band and stretch it and let go of one end, and it pulls to the other end. This was a light beam, not like an orb that was like, or a light anomaly that was just kind of like walking across the road. It was a bright beam to where there was actual illumination.
You think it was ball lightning?
That's what I thought too. And then I started looking into it, and the atmospheric pressures and everything and there wasn't a deviant in the trajectory. It was like it did not deviate from where the path was. It was straight. It didn't go up or down. It didn't roll. It didn't bounce. It didn't fluctuate. Like, it just was like a rubber band of light that went from one side of the field across the road to the other side of the or to a portion in the next field, and then disappeared.
That's very interesting. I can't quite say I know, but again, you know, there's always going to be things that stump people, like, you know, why is it that women find Dennis attractive? Again, people are always stumped, right?
Exactly. Hell, Dennis,
you know,
is stumped.
I would take any orb story over that. I would agree with any orb story over why women find Dennis attractive. I would call her normal.
Yes, anything above the normal, right?
How in the hell did this become Bash Dennis night? You can
don't pick on Dennis.
Very white ass. Damn it.
Well, wait a minute. that's
protect
that's
me, Lisa.
Much.
You're close to her. Smack him in the head.
No, Lisa actually won it.
I punch.
Yes, but I'm quite not feeling well, so it would behoove her, big word, not to do it because she would be taught a lesson.
That's bullshit.
Just remember, she wears the pants in the family.
Pantalones. We're part Spanish in this family tonight.
So wait, Lisa, here is one question that was generated by your story. Did you dream that you guys had the winning lottery ticket and it did become true?
No, not at all. Actually, you know, I would never, I mean, granted, you know, when we're kids, you know, and I remember as a kid always, you know, not in particular to the lottery, but, you know, wow, if I ever did this, you know, or if I ever had this, you know, this is what I do. We all dreamed about that, you know, and then as I got older and, you know, occasionally played like a scratch check, I'm like, you know, oh, there's always that chance, you know, and, It was just one of those things.
We were just sitting down one day, and I was like, well, why don't we just, try it. You get some tickets, I'll get some tickets. And, you know, we had some little money saved up, and so we went for it.
And the weirdest part, you know, granted, you know, I'm the fifth person in the state of Connecticut since February to actually hit for the $2 million, and the 14th overall since, like, January. To hit a million at least.
But his is more rare than anybody else's.
The weird part is I picked all my numbers. Now, mind you, I had five tickets on five boards on one ticket, so instead of doing five separate, I combined them. And so the board that I hit on was board C. It goes A, B, C, D, E, you know. I hit on board C, all five numbers except for the Powerball, which I didn't even care about that at that point. On the other four tickets, I didn't even hit a single number. So, I mean, that middle board was, boom, destined. Because those other boards, not even a single number. And to get five in a row, that's just mind-blowing. And you know what? I'm glad I didn't even watch the drawing because I wouldn't have even believed it. You know, and then when the ticket came up, I still didn't believe it. But it just, to be able to do that, you know, That's just like a whole like paranormal event. That's a whole higher power on that.
Yeah. And well, Lisa, I want to congratulate you.
I think it's 1 in 91 million to actually pick your own numbers
and
to win at least that. And the thing is, you know, again, hindsight, had I hit four numbers instead of the five, had I hit four numbers, I would have won $200. That fifth number I hit sent it from 200 up to 2 million. I mean, it's just mind blowing, you know, to just think about that. It's so weird.
And I want to congratulate Lisa. It's obvious that your alphabetic tutoring on him has helped because he got all the way up to E this time without stumbling. So, congratulations, Mike. I'm glad you're learning well.
That's because I have not been drinking.
Well, Mike can't even get up to E because he can't even pronounce my name right. He has to call me Lisa instead.
I almost thought you were about to say I could not get up. I was going to knock you out of that chair.
And there we go. Back to this.
Back to the pornographic shit.
That would be Mike. Magic Mike.
Yeah, that's all right.
Chicken brown.
Don't call him Magic Mike. Then you're feeding the ego right now, Lisa.
Feed it, baby.
Hey, real quick, I do, Dennis. You know that we always go over, but I do have to cut real quick and say, if you guys have anything you want to plug, we got about 11 and a half minutes left. We always run out, and we always. Like, oh, yeah, say you're plugged in archive where nobody live can hear it. So,
if you guys want to check out a clip of real evidence, I mean real solid evidence, we did a private case, and I don't know if you know what a Johnny Jumper is, but it's leg-powered by infants that's held up by a spring, and it hooks on to the door frame.
Right.
And when it's not in the middle of the door frame and it's pulled over to the side, there's just, like, no way to move it unless, you know, you know, you hold on to it and take it outward and still it and swing it yourself. But I won't give it away, but it was just me, Mike, our other investigator that's part-time, and the homeowner sitting at the kitchen table, and we were all looking up at the monitor on the upstairs in the child's bedroom, because that's where the clams were, so we weren't even paying attention.
The clams?
You have clams on the brain. The clams were up in the child's bedroom, and that's where we were all watching, and we weren't even paying attention to the other footage, and it wasn't until I got home, I was reviewing it, Mike was at work, and I fell off the couch, I was so stunned by it. I called him, I'm like, holy freaking evidence. I couldn't believe what I was seeing, and neither will you guys. If you want to check out Nest Paranormal, it's all one word, no space, on YouTube, and it'll come up. It's just a small 5 or 6 second clip.
No, it's longer than that.
A little bit longer than that.
Yeah, it's like
13.
No, it's like almost a full minute.
Almost a full minute, I guess. I don't know
how to count. Jesus Christ!
But it's
no,
it's
see,
phenomenal.
That's the difference between men and women. Why women always say it never lasts long enough. And listen, she's saying 5 or 6 seconds. She's saying it's almost a full minute.
I'm not even going to go there.
Good. You know what? Good point, Dennis. As being another penis on the phone, I would definitely have to say I'm going to agree with you, whether I do or not. I will for this segment.
Nice.
Well, the important part is you notice Mike went quiet.
Yes, he would.
Well, yeah, I was actually doing something on the computer, but then she's all talking, well, you guys know what she was talking about, and I just can't say because I'm too much of a gentleman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's nestparanormal.com, or no,
yep.
That's on
YouTube. And if you go to YouTube, it's just Nest Paranormal.
All one word.
And that is NEST Paranormal. Not
and the birds
now.
Yeah.
It sounds kind of distorted on the phone, so just want to make sure. NEST,
yeah.
Like a bird's nest, paranormal, on YouTube.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, not, yeah, I guess once you, I mean, S and X.
55 seconds.
Pretty damn close.
Yeah, he says it's 55 seconds long. But it's on there, and if anybody wants to check it out, it's real evidence.
The other 5 seconds was me crying.
I was going to say, Mike, is that about average, 55 seconds?
Oh,
like
Jesus.
He said, the other 5 seconds of it is him crying and apologizing.
I'm sorry.
She's like, I'm not even going to comment on that one.
This never happens to me. Bullshit. We've been together for years. Yes, it does all the time.
But it's never happened.
No, this is horrible. Now we're going to have guests that are listening that, you know, are potential future guests going, oh, hell no.
Yeah, as Sandy
I want to apologize for all the men on the show right now.
Don't bother apologizing for
me. And they're wandering minds.
We do have an event. We have an event August 31st. I'm still just finalizing within the next couple of days the timeline of events for that day. It's going to be, like I said, the Haunted Victorian up in Gardner, Mass. We do have our friend Tom D'Agostino coming on this event. It will be a public event, 20 to 30 people max. We're going to have it obviously separated into groups, going in at different times, so less contamination. But also, our big addition, which we are pegging in within the last couple of days here, is going to be Ben Hansen from Factor Faked. He will be coming along. I spoke to him myself, and we're just finalizing a little bit of contacts that we have, and he will be joining us on this investigation. So the time hasn't been set yet. We do know it's August 31st, and from there, you know, we're going to have a great time. Hopefully you guys, you know, I know, Dennis, you're down there in Virginia. Hopefully you can come up and be a part of this with us.
You never know. I mean, I've got well, let's see, I've got the end of July, I'll be up that way anyway. And September, I will be in Pennsylvania at the Paracon there in Allentown.
Yeah, but that's September 1. Wasn't that September 7th, 8th, and 9th?
6th, 7th, 8th.
Yeah, so why don't you come up a week ahead of time and be up in Massachusetts then?
Yeah, it's a thought.
That's a very good thought.
Might have to, I just might have to see if I can make the finances work out for that. It'd be definitely entertaining. But, hey, can I stay in the 1700s period house?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, we're restoring it. As of Wednesday, we'll be closed on it. And we'll start the renovations with our builder and designer. But, yeah, absolutely. Everyone, you know, is more than welcome to come check it out for the most part. Again, we're not going to make the address public on air. We'll only make it private to those we fully trust, including yourself and possibly Matt. Definitely, you're more than welcome to.
Yeah, hell, I'll bring a cot and just sleep in the 1700s period house.
Well, look at it this way. We're actually heading out to Vegas at some point this year because our ambulance, we've been talking to the crew of Counting Cars, and we gave them all the headshots and everything in regards to them actually customizing our ambulance, with bunk beds and, like, just really going to town on it. So if it's ready, you know, by time you're able to come up, then who knows? Maybe you can just, sleep in our ambulance and have a great time there, too, because it's all going to be set up like a mini RV, a paranormal mini RV at that.
Oh, you're not going to have Brett Michaels do it?
No, I'm not going to have Brett Michaels do it. I'd rather actually it not smell like bourbon and you know, cigars.
Well, I guess I won't be staying in there then.
I see what you're saying.
Afterwards, it will smell like bourbon and cigars.
Yes, and a few other scents I can't really say on air, I'm sure.
Oh, man.
With this conversation.
Yeah, Lisa's like, I'm not part of this. That's the problem. She's never a part of it. It's always me, and she's never helping out.
That's
cool. Yeah, feel free to jump right in there and chuck me in the rest of these.
I've been banging that same drum for 10 months now.
He's going to be banging something else in a second.
It's
not going to be me.
Wow. I don't
so much for our NC-17 rating.
And now it's gone to the point of just to say thank you for listening to Into the Darkness. I apologize, and I hope that you don't have any children listening.
Actually, coincidentally, you know, there probably isn't, but at the same time, this is Mike and Lisa, and this is who we are. We have a great time doing what we do, and, you know, we're real life. You know, we're not here to upset people, but at the same time, if we do, thank you. Hopefully they'll come back and listen each and every time.
And if we can make you laugh, awesome.
Yes. Be respectful, but also make people laugh.
Hey, shit, Dennis. Think about this for a Wednesday night or a Monday night. We get Mike and Lisa. We get Scott Grunewald and Jody Parks on a show together.
Well, I actually have messages out right now to Scott and... God, who else did I send it to? Oh, Helmy. Trying to get them to join us on a show just so we can go, you know, just balls out and have a great time. So I got a feeling I've got two other guests that I might include in that show if I can get it to all piece together.
Yes, everyone know that whenever, go right on ahead.
And Mike and Lisa, honestly, Scott will truly have his balls out.
Oh, Jesus. So, thank God we're on the phone and not on Skype or video or anything, because honestly, I am all set with that. You know, I just, no.
Yeah, I'm pretty good with not seeing a set of hairy man balls. I'm good without that.
Hey, real quick, Dennis, shut up. Thank you both, Mike, Lisa. It's been a definite pleasure since we're about to go into archive. Wednesday, Full Spectrum Radio. Sandy Lynn White, amazing, amazing woman. She's just cool as shit. You definitely got to check it out. Check out the promo that I'm going to do on Facebook for her, and I promise you that you will not be upset and listening to her or anybody else that we ever have on the shows, because it's always just a damn blast. Thank you, Dennis. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Lisa. That is the official sign-off for Into the Darkness, Full Spectrum style. Catch us again next Monday, same time, same place.
Enjoy.
And with that, we're going to roll into archive as I do our plugs. Check out CPR Matt, CPR Dennis, both on Facebook and Twitter, same name, both places. You can also check out ChicagolandParanormalResearchers.com and Facebook as well. Thank you for joining us. We are now in archive, which means that now we can still talk and so forth, folks, but the live audience doesn't hear it, just whoever manages to listen this far through the craziness on the archive program. But, you know, it was definitely fun having you guys on. And I'm definitely looking forward. I told Jesse that when I come up there at the end of this month, that I've only got like 3 days that of what's actually scheduled. I can't get into what's scheduled for me on air. The United States Navy may get a little pissed off about that. But it's only planned for 3, perhaps 4 days. Other than that, I got time to hang out with you two nuts and just have a good time.
It'll be fun.
It's a damn shame. One of the part of the four of this group right now is stuck out in Chicago, though. But then again, we don't want him along anyway, do we?
Yeah, absolutely we do.
Yeah, I live in the wrong damn part of the country.
Yep.
So, hey, if you guys are doing that event in Massachusetts, any way you can swing up to Allentown, Pennsylvania?
Yeah, because that's what, like 5 hours from us?
That's not even like 5 hours from us, like 4.5 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's we'll be staying at the Sands there in Allentown. Oh, I think we're staying at the Sands. Have we even finalized our damn any of this shit yet, Matt? Other than we're going to be there?
Oh yeah, no, we're gonna be there.
Are you guys gonna be sharing a bed?
Well, I'm driving.
It's a definite possibility. I like to snuggle. So
I'm the driver, though, just so you know.
Yeah, like me, I'm always the driver. He falls asleep, but he's not even a navigator.
55 seconds later.
Dennis was going a different way with the driver thing, I assume.
Yeah. I'm sure he was, but just throwing that one out there.
So we haven't gone up there. This may not be good.
It's honestly, I mean, for the people that are going to be there that just that we know, Sarah, who I started Full Spectrum with on Wednesday nights, she used to co-host co-host. I don't know what their rank was. Monday nights was Brittany Johnson and myself, who. Brittany's on kind of a hiatus right now just because she's so swamped with summer, so that's why Dennis and I have taken over Monday night. But Full Spectrum was Sarah LaBrie from Paranormal Hot Squad, and Brittany ended up taking over Monday nights because of her schedule. And I asked Sarah today, I was joking around with her, I'm like, oh, I said, what's up with you Paranormal Hot Squad girls? And the fact that we started shows together and you both bail on us. And I was doing Brittany shit about that too. But it's, you know, I've talked with them both numerous times, and extremely knowledgeable girls. They, oh really, Dennis?
Come on.
Yeah. commenting that sent us this Facebook message. Well, she's in if she wants to be.
It's so damn tough to keep Matt on track. He has a one crack pipe mind. It's that one crack pipe mind of his that just leads him into so much trouble.
I'm sitting there listening, and I'm like, okay, do I hang up? Or I'm like, this is kind of interesting.
By the way, Sandy White is joining us. She's going to be our guest on Wednesday. So,
yay.
Sandy, Mike, Lisa.
She was sitting on the phone
listening. Lisa, Sandy. Oh,
hello.
Bring her in.
Hi, Lisa. Hi, Mike. I was listening.
Hello, how are you?
I was like, this is awesome listening to y'all. Y'all were going back and forth. I was like,
we're not right.
Who ain't right?
We're not right.
If you watch,
you know,
rap.
So are you just sitting laughing your ass off?
Yep. Heard all about the ball hanging out, and I was like, oh my God.
That's a little much.
Yeah, sometimes I just have to. I sit and look around, and then I look in the mirror and go, "What the hell have you gotten yourself into?" And you know, this little voice in the back of my head says, "A damn good time. Just sit back and roll with it." Of course, then that falls and screws it all up.
But hey, as long as you're not out mowing your yard and your thong, I mean, unless you want to, I tried that last week. Scared my neighbor.
I did hear something interesting along those lines. Is I was listening to US 99, which here in Chicago, it's a country music station. And I was listening to it on the way into work. And it was a woman that said that she was on vacation in France with her family. And she said, she goes, I'm not a big girl. She goes, I'm just not really big into wearing, you know, bikinis or one piece or something like that and showing off my legs and all, you know, and thighs and all that stuff. She goes, not that there's a problem with them. I just don't like to be that revealing. And there was one of the lifeguards at the place that they were in France that told her that she or any males are not allowed to wear board shorts. They have to wear Speedos. Or they will be ejected from the park.
That's scary.
That's wrong.
Well, that's just wrong. It is.
You know, they're going to wear a video camera, video and all that, and then that's going to be like a funny video later or something, you know? Like,
I started to think. I'm like, you know what? That's why all the damn Eastern Europeans wear Speedos and shit when they're, like, out on...
anywhere else,
I go out on the boat pretty much every weekend, or when I've been up in the Dells and in Wisconsin and the water park capital of the world, of why I see so many Eastern Europeans, basically with their hairiness, very revealing bathing suits. And I'm like, well, cool, because they don't think that they're allowed there otherwise, but because they'll get kicked out, because that's what they're supposed to do in Europe, which also means that I will never go to any sort of water activity in Europe ever.
Wear a wetsuit, say, hey, this is all you get. They ain't putting your Band-Aids on, ain't happening.
just put a sock on and tie a string around your ass, and a bathing suit in Europe.
Dennis, I'll have you know that John Knight, he's a guy almost in charge of 97.7 WCTY, which is a country radio station out of Connecticut. He listened to your show tonight, and he said, great show. So I just wanted to let you guys know that you had a big radio personality in this area liking your show tonight.
That's pretty cool.
Awesome. Yeah, I see where he... a great show, and he can't wait for yours. That's pretty cool, man. Definitely appreciate that.
What he didn't comment on is that his ears were on fucking fire afterwards.
I'm sure he was laughing his ass off at home.
Yeah.
We'll probably hear about it at poker night on Monday, next Monday.
Yeah, there is no telling. I posted a status a long time back, but there's no telling what the hell Matt and I are going to get into. So just sit back, listen, and you know, if you have tender ears, well.
There's no telling what you'll get into or who you'll get into.
Something like that, yes. Yes, I'll leave it at that and let your imagination run wild.
Yeah, I took that post that you done and I put it on my page, but I also promoted it. So, yeah, I put in $6.99 for you.
Awesome. Thank you, Sadie. Yeah.
Hey, Dennis, I hate to be a sore sport, but I'm going to head off to sleep because I'm not feeling all the greatest, but it's been an absolute blast talking to you guys, and I can't wait to, you know, have another show with you guys, hopefully.
Yeah, he was out in the sun for 5 hours today. He looks like a lobster.
Ouch. Dude, I did that 2 weeks ago, man. You got my sympathy.
I hear you.
Thank you very much to the two of you.
No problem.
Thank you for having us on.
So you guys have a great night, and to your little lady friend there.
Yeah, and we'll see you soon.
Be safe around these two.
Yeah.
Thanks for the warning. It was very nice to meet y'all.
Do the safety dance.
Yeah. Oh, Lisa, you going to 80s now? Come on.
I
just
see a video of that. I'll have to learn that one.
So you guys enjoy your night, and we'll be talking to you again soon.
All right, brother, I appreciate it. Take
you're
care.
You're more than welcome on any Monday or Wednesday night that we have. I mean, feel free, just shoot us a message and be like, hey, we're bored, and we got you guys. So.
All right, cool.
Awesome.
All right. Good night.
Y'all have a great night. We'll talk
you
to you
later.
You too. Have
good
a
night.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye.
Well, Sandy, now it gives you an idea what to look forward to when you come on the show Wednesday night, huh?
Sounds interesting. I was taking notes. I didn't want to get on there and go, that what?
there'll be a lot of that with Dennis's comments. Wait.
Yeah, no kidding.
What?
What you talking about, Wes? All right. Well, thank y'all for letting me listen in and chat with y'all. And I will talk with y'all tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock your time. Well, so
Wednesday. Wednesday.
Wednesday.
I'm trying to hurry up and get to Friday. Dang it.
I'm going to post all over your wall Wednesday.
Wednesday, every hour. Wednesday. It's Wednesday now. I just don't want to go to the gym tomorrow. That's all. I'll skip.
You know what? Sandy's going to call in because it's the same number, and she's going to be stuck on with Kevin and Jody's crazy asses.
Oh, I'll have to hang up and call back and get y'all. Well, I'll just let you call me. How about that? Can you do that?
I don't know.
I think we can.
Possibly. The board gets kind of messed up sometimes, so.
Okay. I'll just, I'll
make sure to shoot you a message. I'll shoot you a text.
Obviously, I'll be on Facebook, too, so I'll send you a message when I'm calling.
All right. Sounds good, darling. Well, you have a great night. I'll talk to you Wednesday.
You too. All right. Bye, hon.
Thanks for dealing with the whole night.
Oh, man, that was awesome. Want to do more? All right. Talk with you Wednesday.
All right, then. Thanks. All right.
Good night, dear.
See ya. Good night.
All right, brother. It's been another good show, but hope he just walked in. She's been out shooting pool all night. She got her ass waxed. At pool, not like gynecologically, but, yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah, and she finally got to eat.
Yeah, well, she had to eat at the pool hall, I'm imagining, because, you know, I screwed dinner all up here. But I will tell you this, man, I made it into a fantastic pot of chili, so it's all good. I'm just going to hate myself tomorrow.
Yeah, and that's definitely understandable. So, you know what, I think we do have, and I'm going to play us out in full spectrum style, if in fact it is what I think it is. So, give me a second. If not, I'm going to end it, but if it is, I'm playing us off in full spectrum style. Yes, it is. Hi, Dennis.
There we
Love
go.
You, brother. I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good, man.
Hi,
have a great night. Thanks, everybody, for listening. You have a great night.
Thank you. You too.
Get free. Maybe.